Welcome to It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Coplin. Featuring out and about, thought-provoking conversations on the street. We consider topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show where we balance the intellectual with the creative and explore whether we have more in common than divides us through thought-provoking conversations. For the Arts Hour, I feature in-depth interviews with inspiring guests from all areas of the arts, both local, national and international. And for this, the topic hour, I go out and about and talk to people on the street about a wide variety of different subjects that affect us all, both locally and globally. And the show combines a debate topic with an arts interview because discussion and creativity are two of the most vital ways we engage with the world. And remember, if you'd like to find out more information about the show, you can go to the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. You can hear podcasts of all my past shows there. And you can connect with me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, etc. So again, the show website is itsaquestionofbalance.com. As I mentioned, It's a Question of Balance has a topic hour and a guest hour, and we have two new tabs on the homepage, guests and topics. If you click on guests, it brings up a page with photos and names of all the previous guests. We've had some fabulous people from all areas of the arts, and all you have to do is click on the photo or the name and it will bring up the podcast page with information and audio for you to listen to when it suits you. And similarly on the topics page, it's had some really interesting and hopefully thought-provoking topics that you can look at the photos, look at the question and click on to listen to those podcasts. So I encourage you to do that and visit the website. It's aquestionofbalance.com. Right now, we're featuring out and about, thought-provoking conversations on the street. And in out and about, we're considering topics with local relevance and global significance, the idea being to try and get us thinking about things, maybe something we are already thinking about or a new subject, and hearing other people's thoughts, perhaps making us give a new perspective of our own to a topic that we may have already thought about. This week, we're considering what qualities do you want in a world leader? This is a topic we've considered before last year, but I thought it would be interesting to revisit it as we're going through this sort of election season, and with all the events that are happening around the world, world leadership seems a particularly pertinent topic right now, as it affects all of us wherever we are, the different leaders of countries. So I thought it might be interesting to explore whether leaders today need different qualities in the past, and also whether different qualities are required to be the leader of America than other countries. Well, the first person that I spoke to was Joanne, so let's hear what she had to say. Hello, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Joanne Birch.
Well, thanks so much, Joanne, for taking part in our Out and About feature. And this week we're looking at what qualities do we want in a world leader? It seems historically that we valued more the hard qualities of leadership, like strength, control. But we live in a world now where people perhaps care more how things are done, not just that they get done, where people are preferring a less paternal approach, maybe. I'm wondering, do you think world leaders today need different qualities than in the past?
Yeah, and I think that that's showing in huge swell for Bernie Sanders, and also that Hillary Clinton has gotten so far with those qualities of, the ideas around socialism, the ideas around taking care of each other and thinking about the we instead of the me. So those sorts of qualities, I think, are coming to the forefront. And I think younger people are more interested in having that kind of a world instead of the world that, know, has been going on so far with the leaders.
Right, yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with Rhianne Eisler and The Chalice and the Blade, but in that book she talks about society returning to a partnership model where the masculine and feminine principles are balanced rather than persisting with what she calls a dominator model of sort of might is right that's prevailed for so long. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on a leader taking a partnership approach to finding solutions. Do you think that is more of a way forward that we need today, or do you think, you know, there's still a place for just going very strong?
I'm very familiar with that book,
right.
And I think that what's happening is the dragon is being slayed and is dying, and what we're feeling and seeing is the tail end of it, the tail of the dragon smashing around, and people like Trump, you know, just they absolutely know that their ticket is done, and that type of lifestyle is done, and that type of leadership is done, and they're doing everything they can to hang on. And what we're seeing is a lot of destruction through that type of leadership. So I think that that's going on. And yeah, I think that absolutely a partnership type of leadership is going on. I think Obama, when he came in, talked about wanting to partner with countries in the Middle East, countries all over the world, China, etc. And he has been really slammed down by the Republicans, not taken seriously, doors blocked. They just refuse to work with him. And frankly, I think his racism too is going on there. But I think he was a gentler and had a more inclusive kind of approach. And I think he was punished for it actually. By the Republicans.
Yeah.
So I do see that type of leadership coming more and more into the forefront, and people like Hillary Clinton, people like Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, those are American leaders, but there are many leaders, you know, I'm thinking about, I just saw Where to Invade Next with Michael Moore's movie,
oh, yes.
And he talked about the Scandinavian countries, Iceland, and Iceland being the first country to elect a female leader back in the 70s,
right.
And how often it is that when there is a female leader, much more so. Much more socialistic programs fall into place. Children are taken care of. Women are taken care of. Elderly are taken care of. And we have more social programs like daycare for children, education for students, better education system, and healthcare, of course, is very important. So all of those are the those are a blueprint and a sign of a mature and developed country. And what we're seeing in America is that I think that tail end of patriarchy happening, and with a belligerent bigot like Donald Trump being able to even get as far as he's gotten. So
do you feel that different qualities are required to be leader of America than other countries?
I think that yes, I do, in a way, because America's often thrown into that police role around the world. So and not that they haven't gotten themselves into that situation, but for instance, you know, when problems are happening in places, maybe in the Middle East or in Europe, what often happens is Americans get blamed for starting it, but they're also called upon to stop it, you know?
Yeah.
So for instance, in what I saw with Barack Obama, which I'm really sorry that many things have happened, but I'm also glad to see other countries stepping in. And maybe it's messy and maybe it's not great, but it's not only Americans in there. Now you have Russians in there, you have the French, you have the English, you know, you have other countries that are stepping up and helping with these problems around the world. So in terms of answering that question, I would say yes, in the sense that because America has so many military posts around the world, from the military industrial complex and that whole thing, that there's an added weight of responsibility around the world, and I think other countries look to America to be to do more in terms of United Nations police. You know, they'll call on them to sort of more or less police a country.
What qualities do you think would be different then?
Oh, I see.
Role?
Okay, right.
I mean, what do you think you would need to deal with that you don't perhaps to the head of a European country.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that you need to have the qualities to be able to call upon a military. To call upon a military which has been such a dominant backbone of the American culture, you know. So I think that you like, if you were thinking of it, like, the, you know, like a leader like, well, even Bernie Sanders or the former president of Iceland, for instance, is that it's going to take a while to move from the place that we are now in terms of the military-industrial complex, in terms of leadership in the world. And in order to do that, you need to be able to have both, feed in both worlds. So you have to be able to be strong enough to stand up to, ISIS or Russia or places like that, and be able to think in terms of, you know, like the social programs for domestic programs, etc. So I think you need to have a little of both.
Yeah. Do you think women want different qualities in a leader than men?
First of all, this is a journalist.
Or do you think that's too sweeping to say that?
I don't. I think that they do want different qualities in a leader. I think that women have a different point of view in terms of social programs. They want their children taken care of. They want their children to be educated. They want health care. I just think that because we have been in such a long line of patriarchy, so for hundreds, millennia after millennia, that that it's time for women's leadership. And I think it's time to bring that those qualities of caring for others to the forefront.
Yeah. Is it more important to you that your leader shares your exact beliefs or that they share your values?
I think that they share my values. It's more important that they share that, and I'm not as concerned of how they get things done as that they, you know, they're willing to work for the same values I am.
And obviously one has to have a lot of self-confidence to be a leader, but I'm wondering how much you rate humility and an openness to continuous learning in a world leader.
Absolutely, the second. Absolutely, being able to be, we don't stop learning just because we become adults. And I think that to be a leader, you need to be humble. You need to be able to be able to learn from the people that you're leading. And so taking examples from them, making mistakes and learning from them, and always, always trying to have the best integrity and to try to be the better person.
And how much do you want a leader to represent the interests of the whole country rather than just the people who voted them in? Because obviously in America, that might be only 52% of the electorate.
Well, I think that this country is funny to only have two parties. I think that it needs many more parties to probably represent the different issues and the different concerns. So I think it would be very difficult for one party and one leader to represent all of the different concerns. So,
right.
Yeah.
And finally, do you think there is still resistance to female candidates for the presidency in America?
Sex isn't alive and well, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. Right now we're featuring Out and About, thought-provoking conversations on the street. And if you have any thoughts about our topic discussion, do email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I'm always interested to hear your thoughts. So that's ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. We're going to go to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
No white horses to play the game, and I wish I knew your name.
It's a Question of Balance music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com. Gazing at a painting by Santa Cruz artist Doreen Davis simultaneously enlivens and soothes the soul. Working predominantly in watercolor, but also in acrylic and oil, Doreen's floral and landscape paintings have appeared in many exhibitions and are in private collections in the United States, the United Kingdom, and Germany. Experience the visual delight of being at one with nature through her paintings. Visit her online gallery at DoreenDavis.com. DoreenDavis.com. That's DoreenDavis.com.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. Right now, we're featuring Out and About, thought-provoking conversations on the street. And this week, we're considering what qualities do you want in a world leader, and thinking about whether leaders in the past needed different qualities than leaders need today, and also giving some thought to whether the leader of America needs different qualities to leaders of other countries. Anyway, the next conversation I had was with Lex, so let's hear what Lex had to say. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
My name is Lex.
Well, thanks so much for taking part in our Out and About feature. And this week we're looking at what qualities do you want in a world leader? Historically, it seems like we've valued more the kind of hard qualities of leadership, like strength, control. I'm just wondering, do you think world leaders today need different qualities than they have in the past?
I think that the past is what makes us where we are right now, so I don't think we should change the way that we were in the past, but I think we can bring some of those qualities and put them into making our world leaders today better. Like, we can do more to help other countries rather than station our people there and kill innocent people. I just think that we can also help one another with technology, with trade, and everything that goes on, rather than taxing everybody because of we're importing stuff. We can just let it be, and then we can do even trades. I think that would, it's a little complicated, and it's not as easy as that, but I just,
yeah. Rhianne Eisler is a well-known researcher, a feminist writer. She's a book called The Chalice and the Blade, where she talks about society returning more to a partnership model rather than a dominator model, where kind of might is right. So she refers to sort of ancient civilizations 5,000 to 7,000 years ago, where archaeology shows that there were societies that lived in partnership with men and women equal, that didn't have fortifications, that didn't have weapons. And so she is wanting more of a partnership approach rather than just one side or another imposing their will on another side. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on taking that sort of partnership approach as a leader. Do you feel like that is something that we need today? You were talking about, you know, the way we deal with other countries. Do you feel there's still a place for might is right? Or
yeah, I feel like if we were to work on that partnership, it would be better, because as a female, I do understand the differences, especially as a young female growing up like in a traditional household with my Mexican and my Filipino side. So it's, as a female, I know how I'm treated different towards my brothers. And I think that like, let a, like, there's a difference in the house, and I feel like there's definitely going to be a difference around the world.
Right. Do you think women want different qualities in world leaders than men?
Maybe. Maybe, yeah. Sometimes the stereotype as a female, we're softer, we're more caring towards little stuff that men seem to brush off. So I think we do have a different opinion, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that perhaps women's issues such as childcare and equal wages and healthcare also play into what qualities women might want in a leader that aren't there for men?
Yeah, because men kind of don't understand some of that stuff a lot with the single mothers. So it's, they won't be able to understand if they don't have that kind of mindset. Some do, not to say that all men don't, but some do.
Yeah. Do you feel that different qualities are required to be the leader of America than other countries in the world?
Yes, because we're more diverse than other countries, so that does play a big role.
So, yeah. Yes, yeah. And is it more important to you that your leader shares your exact beliefs or that they share your values?
Values, because beliefs aren't always going to, we won't always have the same beliefs, and that's okay, but just as long as we share the same interests and values and we know what we want, but the way we do it won't be the same, of course.
Right, yeah. John F. Kennedy stated that leadership and learning are indispensable to each other. Obviously, to lead, one has to have a lot of self-confidence, but I'm wondering how much you would rate humility and an openness to continuous learning in a world leader.
That's a hard one.
I mean, obviously, you've got to be confident and feel like you're doing the right thing and believe in your policies, but I'm just wondering whether you think it's important also to be open to changing your mind, you know?
Yeah, of course. I think being open is one of a much needed quality in order to be a leader. You can't be closed-minded when you're a leader. It's, you're not going to be able to hear your people's opinion and everything else, and things will always have to be your ways, which is what the people are for, to vote, and so you can alter things instead of just thinking strictly for yourself.
And how much do you want a leader to try to represent the interests of the whole country rather than just the people who voted them in, which obviously in America could be only sort of 52% of the electorate?
Yeah. I think it's very important that that happens. It's just extremely important to me.
Yeah. So there's sort of a need for a willingness to perhaps compromise.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Do you think there's still resistance to female candidates for the leadership in America?
I'm not sure, because where I live, I don't see it. But of course, some, maybe on the East Coast or in the southern states, that might have a better, they might have a better opinion than I do, because I'm from California. So it's really, really diverse, and people, men and women, are really, really open and respectful to one another here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, from where I'm from, I can't speak on that.
Right.
But of course, there might be a possibility.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your opinion.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And It's a Question of Balance has a topic hour and a guest hour, which you'll know if you listen regularly. And right now we're featuring our topic hour and out and about, which is where I go out on the street and have hopefully thought-provoking conversations with people on different topics every week. And as you just heard, this week we're considering what qualities do you need in a world leader. And I hope maybe this is starting you thinking what qualities you think we should have in a world leader, rather than just thinking what party they belong to or whatever, actually thinking about, in a more general sense, what qualities do we really need in a world leader to make them successful and lead us in the best possible way, representing all the people in that country. And if you do have any thoughts about our topic discussion, do email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I'd really like to hear what you have to say. So that's ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. Well, the next person I spoke to was Vikesh. So let's hear his thoughts.
Hello, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Vikesh.
Well, thanks so much for stopping and taking part in Out and About. And this week we're looking at what qualities do you want in a world leader? It seemed like in the past we've perhaps valued more hard qualities of leadership, strength and control, but perhaps we live in a world now where people care very much about how things are done, not just that they get done. And perhaps we prefer a less paternalistic approach as we become more individualistic. So I'm wondering, do you think world leaders today need different qualities than they have in the past?
Well, I'll speak in the context of a world leader from the US, right? So
Okay. It's
not any ordinary country. It's supposed to be a world leader in terms of nations, right? So you expect something more from a leader of this country. I think there are two things that I personally would say that should be in that leader. Is one, they should be well respected at home. So I was a big fan of Obama, for example, but it's very clear from the last few years that he wasn't very respected at home.
Right.
So the ability to get respected outside of the US is impacted by that. So I think that's essential. You need to be respected at home, and it should be visible to the rest of the world. And the second is that you need to be a more of a consensus builder in today's world versus an autocratic, this is the way it's got to be done, because most people will not fall in line. Right,
right, yeah. Is it more important to you that your leader shares your exact beliefs or that they share your values?
Neither. It's not important for me that they share either of those things. I just want a strong leader for the country and someone that's going to be looked up to in the world. So I'm fine with them not sharing my values.
Okay. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are on a leader taking more of a partnership approach to finding solutions rather than just trying to impose a view. You say you want a strong leader, but do you think it is important also to work in partnership?
Absolutely. That's what I mentioned, that as one of the things that I'm looking for in that leader, is
right.
Because I think politics and government means negotiations and partnership. I think we've been forgetting that of late, where people are very getting entrenched in their lines of thought and not willing to compromise. But that's not why we elect and send people into the government. They have to compromise, they have to talk with each other and come to consensus solutions, right? That's why I'm not a firm believer of agendas or beliefs. There has to be compromise in society. There are all kinds of people. So.
Okay. Do you expect a world leader to hold high values in their personal life, or do you see that as separate as their ability to lead?
I think it's pretty unique to US that if a person is not held to high moral values, they automatically get disqualified. But in France and other places, you see that that's maybe not as essential. So I think it's a more of a cultural thing. I think that leaders should be respected. And as part of that, if this is going to diminish the respect in some way, then I guess that's going to be important.
Do you feel that the moral compass that someone has in their personal life, though, would reflect on how they might approach things in their political life? Or do you feel like someone can segregate those two things and be perhaps very ethical in one and not in the other?
The honest answer is I don't know. I have seen people be very good at work, but maybe not good human beings in general. So I guess it's possible. An ideal candidate is obviously someone that exhibits both, right?
Yes, yeah. Obviously, you have to have a lot of self-belief to put yourself forward to be a world leader, but I'm wondering how much you think humility and perhaps an openness to continuous learning is important in a world leader.
I think these aren't the only values that that determine your leadership capability, right? And Obama is a good example where I think he shows humility enough when he goes outside, but you can, he doesn't enjoy the respect from people. People think that he's weak in some areas, especially when you match him up against someone like Putin, and he comes off as a strong guy, and we are compromising and we sounding weak. So I think you've got the ability to change gears and deal with different people in a different manner.
Yes. How much do you want a leader to try to represent the interests of the whole country rather than just the people who voted them in? Because obviously in America it's very divided. So how important do you think it is that they try and represent the interests of everybody?
Yeah, they have to, right? I don't think there's any president that, or any good leader that goes in thinking that they're going to represent only their faction. Everyone knows that they represent the country. But during the election cycle, you hear a lot about factionalism and what they're doing for their component of the voters. But someone who just thinks like that is not going to be a good leader.
No. Do you think that women want different qualities in a world leader to men?
Women?
Yeah. Do you think men want? I should ask you the other way around. Do you think men want different qualities to women?
I'm not a big proponent of men versus women divide in thinking. I think it's more of personality types.
Okay.
Maybe it's just an analytical way of thinking, but I don't think there are too many differences. Same personality types, whether you're a man or a woman, probably want the same things. So.
Right. And finally, do you think there's still resistance to female candidates for the presidency in America?
Absolutely. There's no two ways about it. And on the other hand, I think there are people who would vote just because Hillary is a woman too, right? I'm one of them.
Right.
I think it's time that we have a woman president, whether that's the ideal candidate or not. Sometimes you've got to vote because it's time to do that.
Right. And what do you feel a woman candidate or woman president could do? Why is it time for that in your mind?
Again, I don't feel that a woman or a man really makes a candidate better or worse, so I wouldn't be able to answer that. I think it's more of a personality type for me, and I think Hillary is the personality type that I can see getting things done.
I mean, one could argue that it's time in just the sense to have a bit of variety, you know, because never having had a president in the history of America who's a woman is quite peculiar, really, isn't it? If we get outside of the patriarchy.
I'm from Asia, so we've seen women prime ministers and presidents, and in countries which aren't as open as the US, and even now, a country like Bangladesh has women presidents, right? So even when they alternate, it's women, one woman changing and another woman coming in. So it just sounds a little shameful is a bad word to use, but that's why I say it's about time that we have a woman.
Kind of behind the curve.
Much behind the curve. Margaret Thatcher happened many years ago in England, so it's time that we also put in someone there.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your thoughts. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, in our topic discussion this week, where I go out on the street and talk to people about a current event or a philosophical issue. This week, we're considering what qualities do you want in a world leader? It was extremely windy the day I did these last interviews, so even with a wind cover on the mic, there is some wind noise, unfortunately, but I did do everything possible to try and reduce that. Anyway, we are going to go to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversations after these messages.
And I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games, Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years.
Ciao, I'm Luca from Tramonti at 528 Seabright Avenue, steps from the ocean. We are the authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant, serving also organic salad and house-made desserts in a friendly family-style atmosphere, indoor or on our lovely patio.
Tramonti is open every day from noon to 9 and later on Fridays and Saturdays. Come enjoy our specials every Tuesday neighborhood night and the best deal for a healthy bite at lunch every day.
We bake our bread and prep our fresh pasta and pizza daily. Beppe, Daniel and I want to say grazie to the Santa Cruz community for supporting us in the past 2 years. Allora, buon appetito!
Visit Luca and Beppe at Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue. That's Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue.
Can you imagine living without stress, anxiety, or fear? And can you imagine a life filled with harmony and inner peace? Is that even possible? The Ananda Yoga and Meditation Center in Scotts Valley offers simple tools to help you become more effective at work and more centered in the face of life's challenges. At Ananda, we offer yoga classes for everybody, inspiring workshops, devotional chanting, and Sunday services based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. Our teachers and therapists are highly trained professionals who work together to inspire a healthier you. And your first Ananda yoga class is always free. Visit us at anandascottsvalley.org or call 338-YOGA. That's anandascottsvalley.org or 338-YOGA.
With me, Ruth Copland, and our Out and About feature where I go out on the street and talk to people who agree to talk to me. I'm always very grateful to the people who do stop and give some deep thought to what are quite complex issues usually. So thank you very much to everybody who talks to me. I really appreciate it. And I am finding today, certainly the people that I'm speaking to are definitely making me think about some things to do with leadership and what is required to lead different countries and to lead America. So I'm hoping that you also are thinking about what you think the good qualities are for a leader. So let's hear the next person that I spoke to.
Hi, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
My name is Brad.
Well, thanks for taking part in our Out and About feature. And this week we're considering, what qualities do you want in a world leader? Historically, we seem to have valued more the hard qualities of leadership, sort of strength and control, but possibly today people prefer a less paternalistic approach. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are, whether world leaders need different qualities today than they did in the past.
I think to be a world leader, you have to have a certain amount of guile,
okay,
and ambition, and a sense of empathy and connection to the people you're leading. You have to be a leader of men and women, as well as being flexible when in times of need for your country, and need to think about the future, how your country is going to look 10, 15 years from now, or even farther in the future.
Right. So not just sort of doing what's expedient right now.
Right, right.
Yes, okay. Henry Ford said, coming together is a beginning, keeping together is progress, working together is success. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on a leader taking a partnership approach to finding solutions.
I mean, what's the poem say, that you cannot be an island unto yourself, and every leader has to, I mean, you can't be just doing your, working on your own. You have to be a leader of people and a manager of people to get your agenda accomplished.
Right.
I mean, in the United States, for example, other than just being the executive of the federal government, you have to work with Congress and convince them to pass the legislative agenda.
Yes, yeah. I mean, we hear a lot, though, in the U.S. about people wanting to impose one set of ideas on another group of people. And, you know, in the recent past, there hasn't been a lot of compromise or partnership. And,
right.
And so when there isn't, of course, not a lot gets done. So that's kind of why I'm asking this question, whether you, if you are a leader that you support, would you want to see them being willing to partner with all of Congress? Or is it important to you that they just really stick to what they believe and what you
right.
voted for?
Actually, I don't believe... I mean, when you're a leader of people, especially when you have a diverse country such as the United States with 320 million people, you cannot be ideologically rigid. You have to be flexible. You have to think, what is it, Mill, who said, search for the greatest good for the greatest many, basically.
Mm.
And my personal feeling is that I think what would be really extraordinary for the United States if somebody created a party that actually was a combination of both, rather than having a Manichean worldview where this is my ideology and yes, right or wrong, this is my ideology. Because I don't think people really have rigid ideologies in real life.
No. I think that's true, because, you know, you may subscribe to one party or another, but it's very unlikely you probably hold all those beliefs.
Right.
You know.
Have you met people like that? Never. I've never met somebody with rigid ideology in their own personal life. But yet, political leaders, to appeal to a certain fringe to get elected, have to do that. But
yeah.
It's kind of a... It's a strange dichotomy.
Yeah. No, I think most people are not. I mean, obviously, some people are very rigid on specific issues, but I think that not many people would hold exactly the same issues, you know, or ideas on every issue. You know, you may be conservative fiscally, but more liberal in your social views, or the reverse.
Well, you know, it's interesting about this election, because I don't know if we're talking about just the United States or world politics in general.
Both, and what the differences are.
Well, it's interesting, because you have, on the right wing, you have Trump. It's Trump or nothing. And then on the other side, you have Bernie or nothing, or Hillary Clinton or nothing. And it's, I mean, isn't there something in between that, you know, a synchronicity?
Mm. Well, I know in some European countries, they have an option of none of the above. So that it sounds a bit funny, but what it means is that if you don't actually want any of the candidates that have been put forward, if enough people vote that, then the process would have to be done again so that new candidates will be put forward that perhaps are more appealing to people. So there, in this sort of situation where there is a high dissatisfaction rate with a couple of the candidates,
right.
You know, you wonder whether maybe that should be an option. I don't know what you think.
No, I don't necessarily agree with none of the above. I mean, I think the way this... I hate using cliche terms like establishment, and this is just the way it is in the elite and things of that nature, because in the United States, I think you could have a popular movement driving our political agenda, but really, I don't know if people really believe in civic virtue. I don't know if there's a lot of momentum at the bottom or in the middle to push a unified agenda.
Mm.
What the people who are active in politics are the people on the fringes, and
right.
that, and then you have media in the country that, to me personally, is kind of lazy.
Mm.
And they don't take in a. They think, okay, Republican, Democrat, and that's it. You never. I mean, if you ever see a TV show on cable news or on broadcast television or even on the radio, basically it's black or white. You have one side or the other side. There's nothing about There's no synchronicity. There's no merging of views. There's no, maybe this is a possibility. There's no flexibility, which I think is crazy because that's not real life.
So going back to the question of what qualities you want and flexibility and bringing in ideas from a wide range of political views would be important to you in a leader?
Well, part of being a leader is that you cannot always just be driven by your constituency that got you elected. I hate to say that. Sometimes you have to tell them, look, this is not in our best interest as a country or the best interest for the people as a whole.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to say, look, to bring to the country, we have to compromise here or there.
Yeah.
And right now we have these candidates that are so ideologically driven. I mean, I don't think it's really them. I really think it's driven by both the media and the laziness of the media and by people who are not, I don't think people are stupid. I don't think, they just don't have time. They have busy lives. And you can't, and to practice civic virtue, you have to have a part of your life that's available to doing it. And a lot of people just have kids, they have families, they're worried about other things, just basic normal life, and they can't really have that part of their life that's engaged in civic virtue.
Right, yeah. Mark Van Doren of Columbia University states, any piece of knowledge I acquire today has a value at this moment exactly proportional to my skill to deal with it. Tomorrow, when I know more, I recall that piece of knowledge and use it better. And obviously, to utilize that way of thinking, you have to have a certain level of humility. And Jack Welch from GE said, keep learning. Don't be arrogant by assuming that you know it all, that you have a monopoly on the truth. Always assume you can learn something from someone else. Now, obviously, one has to have a lot of self-confidence to put oneself forward as a leader and make, you know, important decisions and push forward policies. But I'm wondering how much you rate humility and an openness to continuous learning in a world leader.
Humility, I don't think it's not probably a good thing to have in a leader, quite honestly.
Oh, really?
No.
Why not?
Because a leader and being humble are just two they're not the same thing.
Do you think that's with how you perceive a leader, though, in terms of...
I think a lot of leaders in their heart are not... I mean, look at somebody like Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. These are very extremely ambitious people. And I don't really think humility is part... If you're at the top, if you're a CEO, if you're really at the top 1% of power and financial power and political power, you have very little humility.
Okay, well, let's call it something else. And what about an openness to change, you know, being willing to change your mind?
Well, that goes back to what I said about flexibility. Well, the thing is about people who, I mean, if you look at Hillary, I mean, it's different in the UK because you have David Cameron, who's actually pretty young. He's around 45 years old. In comparison to Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, who are both, I mean, Donald Trump just turned 70 and Hillary Clinton's going to be 70 pretty soon. These are people who have pretty much over years of, they have acquired a cumulative learning. And basically they're at the apex of their careers because they've, according to them, not a worldview, a certain amount of wisdom according to how they've lived their lives and how they've accumulated.
Well, I'm just going to challenge that because I do feel that it's possible to reach that age and just be entrenched in your own views and actually be much less flexible.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, whereas I think some people are continuous learners for all of their lives and therefore they're constantly reassessing. And, you know, you get very pilloried in America for changing your mind, but I actually respect people who may have voted one way at one point and then subsequent to that have reassessed things in the light of new information and have changed their mind. But you know, often in America, those people are very criticized. Like, well, you voted this way, now you flipped it, you know?
You're not doing yourself any favors by changing your mind, at least in the United States. It's not considered a sign of wisdom. It's considered a sign of weakness and flip-flopping. I think with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, because they're so old, I guess, is I don't think they're really... willing to change that much, whereas I think some of the younger leaders, like somebody like David Cameron, who I think would be more flexible to different opinions and how... I mean, he...
I don't know if we can generalize. I mean, you look at someone like the Dalai Lama, he's quite old, but he doesn't strike you as someone who's totally inflexible, does he? I don't know.
No, I mean...
I just think maybe it's more personal... a personal way of looking at life. And obviously, like I was saying, you've got to be confident. You've got to be willing to push forward what you think is right. But that's got to be balanced also with not being so arrogant and self-obsessed that you couldn't change your mind if the circumstances dictated.
Well, the thing is I'm just looking at my own life. And a lot of people who are that late 60s, early 70s, very few I've met have open minds and inflexible. Usually they are really set in their ways. And I mean...
So my experience is just the opposite.
Really?
So, oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, three of my closest friends who have all passed on now, you know, one died at 98, one was 93, one was 89. They were all active in public life. One of them was still in the House of Lords in England. And they were all... continuous learners. They were constantly reading new things, changing their mind.
Yeah, but do you think maybe, I mean, but there's a difference between your personal life and your public persona, whereas we just talked about a few, you know, minutes ago that you might be able to, in your heart, you might be saying, yes, I'm reading and I'm accumulating this other knowledge, but at the same time, you have to keep up the face of your public persona, which says, you know, I have to be, to keep my power, to sustain my power, I have to be ideologically rigid.
Yeah. Well, I think there's some truth to that. And obviously in America, obviously that's your opinion. So just to end on, do you think that the qualities needed to lead America are different than other world countries? I mean, you know, European countries perhaps, or do you see America needing unique qualities?
With the United States, it's different because we have the biggest economy in the world. We have the biggest military in the world. We have, you know, the most extensive foreign service and intelligent services in the world. So we have disproportionate power compared to everybody else. So we do, I mean, an American leader does have to have more of inclusive. I mean, it's a dichotomy, because an American leader really needs to have a universal worldview, because whatever he or she says could affect the stock market, could affect you know, terrorist attacks someplace or military movements here or there. Whereas if you come from, you know, a country that's a tertiary country, you know like Burma, or you know, that doesn't have a lot of power,
right?
You have more power and influence as an American leader than you do as somebody, you know, a secondary European power, an Asian power, or something in Latin America.
So it's very important who is the leader of America, I guess. Well, thank you so much for your comments. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ruth.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. Thank you very much for listening, and I look forward to you joining me again for the next show.